talking about David.
Kevin, what's good?
I'm chilling. You're doing well today?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
No, I just in my phone. I just looked at Kanye smiling, so I'm excited
about
that.
Okay, got a little thrown off.
I got a little. I'm excited.
About Kanye's smile?
Well, I retweeted that. The Kanye smile for good luck.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Because I want to have a good look.
I feel you.
You we have a dear friend of yours in the house.
Yes.
This evening.
Yes.
I'm gonna help to introduce, but please. You know, we should run DMC it.
Oh, all right.
A little back and forth.
Okay.
I would say, first and foremost, a super dope journalist.
Yes.
A content creator.
Yes.
A curator of cultural space, stays putting people on.
Yes.
Let them know what they should be fucking with.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah. Let's go.
What else? A fashionista.
Fashionista.
The Fila fit fashion. This evening is
yes,
on flea.
It's true. Fila out here.
Right.
We out here with the sportswear. What's up?
What else do you want to, can you say about?
A kind person who's opened my mind to a lot of things that I, was very new to. And, they've had my back since I got here for no apparent reason, which is cool, I don't know. Really.
Internet celebrité.
Yes, out here with the internet famous.
Rightness. Without further ado, please welcome to the corner store, Lorena Cupcake.
Bow bow bow. Bow.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. The fit is very fly.
Thank you. I'm blushing over here. Once you got to the internet celebrité part, I was like, celebrité. Oh, I got the little accent on the end. That's how you know.
That's how special. I don't know if it's French that way.
I don't even think that's a word.
It might not be. I don't know.
It might be French.
You know, we like to welcome our guests with some treats.
I'm a listener of the show, so I've been anticipating and waiting for these treats. I'm excited.
Because I've been to your crib. You pulled out a whole box of snacks, and you're like, "My G, take some home."
I'm gonna go into the bag.
It's literally labeled snacks.
Yes,
you have a snack room.
It's a
snack room.
It's a dish tub from Family Dollar, and like I have one that's like my grains, one that's my flavorings. You know, my hot cocoa's in there, and then one that's just snacks. It's just like Flamin' Hots.
Yes.
Pudding cups.
Pudding cups.
Pudding cups. Wait,
with the little apostrophe, the pudding.
I know, pudding.
I have multiple flavors of pudding cups right now, and then also Teddy Grahams, because if you eat them together,
yes,
it's kind of like the graham cracker crust of a pie.
What?
And a pie,
yes,
filling.
Honestly.
Oh, wow. You're really snack game crazy.
Yeah, cupcake out here.
You also said flavorings, and then you said hot cocoa mix. Does that lead me to believe that you cook with hot cocoa mix?
Oh, it's a flavoring. I don't know.
You put it on cereal? Like, what goes on?
It's a milk flavoring.
I do have a really dope cocktail recipe with like the Mexican hot chocolate mix, like abuelita or whatever.
Yeah,
you make it with almond milk instead of regular milk.
Let's
and then
go.
You dump in a bunch of creme de cacao in it, and then creme de cacao is like one of these like $12 like Polish schnapps drinks that normally nobody's buying this or drinking this, but it just disappears into the hot chocolate and you get wasted and feel seasonal.
Wow.
The seasonal part is important.
Right, yeah.
Martha Stewart, but far from Jewish.
I mean, Cupcake loves cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a snack aficionado.
I see that.
It's the name.
So we have some snacks for you.
Okay.
We have some chewy Lemonhead fruit mixes for you as well. I hope you enjoy those. I don't know. Do you like gummy candies?
Yeah, sure. I do.
Okay. We also have classic Vintner's sizzling cheese flavored hot twist.
Oh,
the Chicago style snacks. Yo, can I actually take a picture of that? That's an amazing the font on there. Thank you for handing
Vintner's
it.
Has the most fly typography and graphic design and
let me see.
Different little mascot.
It's amazing, right? The Chicago style snack. I mean, that's official.
He looks like he's getting high.
He is off the heat.
I see.
That's why, you know, that's why.
Vinny,
you know,
Vintner out here.
Vinny Vintner. Wow. We also have a vitamin C fortified fruit punch fruit juice cocktail from Arizona.
Oh, the Arizona. These are good. If I need to like knock out a burglar or something, if they come into the stew, I got the all 3 gallons of Arizona right here.
Our snack provider is
Marlena.
Excellent. Marlena.
She's incredible.
Yes.
But Tara refuses to let her speak. So the point.
What?
I don't know. How did you get the name Cupcake?
Yes.
Oh, so it's kind of weird. My parents didn't have the same last names, you know, obviously, because they weren't cousins or anything.
Salutes to them.
So my parents split up when I was young, so I ended up having, my birth certificate has one parent's last name, my social security card had a different parent's last name.
Can be confusing.
Yeah, so I go in to get my state ID, and they say, you need to go through the legal name change process. Like, you need to go to court multiple times, you need to pay the fee, like, there's not really a shortcut. Like, I had to go through the legal name change process. And I'm sorry, if you're going through the legal name change process, I was not going to be Lorena Christine anymore. You know, I was going to get something fun out of it.
Let me step my shit up.
Oh, yeah. That's it? Okay.
That was it.
I mean, I was like, what? Yeah. Okay.
So I wanted to keep the same initial because I thought for some reason my mom wouldn't find out. I didn't want to be like disrespectful. Like, I threw away the middle name you gave me. But I was like, I have the word Christ in the middle of my name. Like, it just seemed like a good girl name. Like, it didn't feel like me. And so I changed it to Lorena Cupcake, and it's been cool. It's been kind of like a brand. Like, if you Google Lorena Cupcake,
appear.
It's me and then a bunch of chicks named Lorena who made cupcakes at one point. You know, like Lorena's cupcake recipe.
Do you love cupcakes?
I told it was about the C. I might have been. I put down like coffee cake. I think I put down crumb cake. I was making a list of different words that
just
started
with cakes.
Yeah,
cake's important for, you know, in all its, you know, many variations and definitions. And
I do love cake, and I think it kind of, you know, it's a little bit like me. It's soft and it's sweet.
Yeah, cake, caking, cake.
Yeah.
Right. There are all these cakes.
Say cake a few more times.
All the multiple meanings, like the butt cake.
Right, I'm
and
talking
then, like,
about the butt cake caking
with
someone.
And then bunt cake.
Actually,
bunt. Bunt. The bunt cake. So wait, where was all this fuckery going on? I mean, where are you born to go through such a ridiculous process of getting your name right?
I'm from California originally, and I think I was in Ohio when I changed my name, but I've been...
Why were you in Ohio? Why would anyone... No offense to anyone.
Damn, don't go...
Columbus is actually a cool little city.
It is. Shout out to Blueprint. Okay. Shout out to Illogic. You know, the Super Duty Tough Work podcast from Columbus, Ohio.
But I mean, sure, it's cool, but it's also like, why were you there? I didn't even know that.
I have been in the Midwest for about a decade, or I think probably more at this point. And I super fuck heavy with the Midwest, but I didn't end up in Chicago immediately. I just, Columbus is a little bit cheaper. It's a little bit smaller. I was like I was fresh 18 when I moved there. So like
more German.
Yeah, there's some dope schnitzel in Columbus.
Dope
schnitzel. But there's like a really good punk scene. There's a really good, like, there's an art school there, so there's all these kids, you know, tripping on acid and making weird parties, and like there's fun stuff to do. There's a really big gay, it's like a just like a gay enclave too, and like a, you know, a blue spot and kind of a red state. So Columbus is actually pretty cool.
Did you go to school there or?
No, it was the 4 years that when most people go to school, I just wasn't going to school. I was just working at Target and doing acid with my art school friends, you know?
Wait, so you just moved to Columbus on a whim?
I had a boo out there. Why are you bringing up my history?
I don't know. I'm just like
because we're interviewing you
as to why you went to Columbus.
Why are you talking about me so much?
Of all places.
I moved there for a partner. Like a lot of people end up doing. Yeah,
okay.
But it was a cool city. I was glad I was in the Midwest. I think Chicago at the time was a little intimidating for me. Like, if you're 18, you've never set up a gas bill before, and you've never, you know, you don't, there also, this was before you could, like, oh, the bus schedule, I'm just going to pull it up on my phone, and there's a little locator that shows me where the bus is. This was like, you had to go look at the yellow pages and think, okay, there's a bus coming at 4:11 and 4:12, and if I get lost while I'm on it, I'm kind of fucked, you know? So... I just spent a little while getting my feet, you know, steady in the Midwest, and then
it's just interesting to me. I have family from California
chapter.
Who don't leave California. People don't leave, you know.
Well, where in California are you from?
I'm from Southern California. I'm close to.
LA.
Yeah, but I wasn't from LA. I was from the suburbs, and I have this like cute formative story. I used to steal the Sunday LA times from off my neighbor's suburban driveways. I'd run around, like, I'd be up all night, a little teenager, you know, like, smoking weed in my bedroom and watching Nick at Night. And then I'd get up at 6 a.m. and I'd steal everybody's paper, or, you know, one person's paper. And I would look through the LA Weekly, and there'd be all these shows. Like, it's literally what I do now, working in cultural event listings, which is funny. But I look at all these cultural event listings, I look at the gallery openings and the movie screenings and these shows, and I'd be like, oh, I'm 12 and I live in the suburbs, I don't actually have access to this.
Right, it's a different world.
Yeah,
that's beyond reach, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like LA is, because everything's so spread out, and there's a lot of geography, and then there's also, I maybe think, maybe like classism that maybe keeps people from accessing. There's really lots of cool culture and stuff out there too, but I feel like it's much more level playing field. If I want to go out every day of the week here, not that I necessarily want to, but if I want to be doing cool shit, I can be doing that every night of the week
here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so how did you grow up? I mean, what is the life of a young cupcake like? What do you like?
Of a young cupcake.
Like, who are your peoples? Who are your parents? What are they doing? How are you raised?
My mom was a single mom. She is white, and then my Mexican family, my other half, my dad's side. I was raised pretty closely with them, so just a lot of like wanting to get out of the suburbs. Being like a little nerdy kid, not really fitting in with people because of being mixed. But then, like, you, when you're a little kid, you think that's so special. You think that's like you're like trapped in this between worlds. And then you grow up and you meet like a million other mixed people, and or like people who are like multicultural in some way, or have some like something. And you're like, oh, I'm not even special. Like, this is like the most boring like struggle. But
Well, when you were a kid, like, what was your shit? Like, what, when you were a nerd, when you were beginning to kind of nerd out, like, what did you delve into?
I really liked punk. I think when I got into, like, junior high and elementary, or I'm not, like, high school and stuff like that, I started getting really into punk and shaving my head. I got really into watching weird movies on like the IFC. Like, 1 year we got the IFC and the Sundance channel. You know when they call you up and they're like, you can have like 20 more channels for like $2, and your mom says, sure, why? And you're like, whoa. We got that happen.
Mom went wild.
Yeah, I know. I was like, suddenly we had the movie channels and like the fancy ones, and I was watching like taping But I'm a Cheerleader off IFC, and like Sofia Coppola's like first film. Where like it's like these girls, it's called Kill the Rats. Or, no, it's called Lick the Star, maybe, because that's Kill the Rats backwards. But it's about these, like, teen girls who try to poison the boys at their school. It's really dark and weird, but that's what I was into. I was just, like, into, like, taping Syphil and Ollie off MTV and, like, making these, like, weird VHS mixtapes of everything I liked off TV and movies.
Yo, I did that, too.
Wasn't that?
I think I only did it once because it's really fucking hard, but I did that shit.
I had tapes on tapes.
Damn, yeah. Well, what did you, I mean, were you aware that you were mixed when you were, like, that little?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, you can see your mom's white and you can see your dad's brown or whatever.
I guess. I mean, I didn't realize. But I also didn't know any other Indian people. So, yeah.
Wait, you just thought you were?
I didn't know. I didn't understand at all. I mean, it's not about being, but just, like,
no, I know,
I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Because I never got good at Spanish, so that kind of sets you apart from the other Mexican kids or the other Latinx kids.
Oh, well, you're around a lot of Mexican kids, mm-hmm. though, yeah.
So I can kind of tell, like, oh, there's something different about me here, because I don't really speak Spanish that well. And then when you get around white people, you can tell pretty quick that there's something different because they're white people. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And your experience, at least, is like radically different. Especially West Coast Latinx culture is like for real.
True. Mm-hmm. I just think I didn't have the tools to process it, or anyone telling me, like, you're this way. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though.
So in your high school experience, were you an oddity? You were growing up into various kinds of subcultures and, you know, maybe odd shit. Like, were you, you know, chastised for that? Were you ran out of school? Did you get in trouble? Were you, you know, steadily, like, getting busted for smoking weed in the bathroom? What was going on?
I got in trouble for making zines, which actually is so, seems so obvious and funny, and you know, like, of course,
were they were like wildly inappropriate, or you just weren't allowed to, like,
we were just working on them during school all the time and distributing them during school. And just,
what was the title? Do you have a title of the zine?
The first one was called Emo Kid, and it was making fun of emo kids. Leo was in the studio because he just recorded his, and he just got really excited about that. I need to show him some copies someday.
Oh, wow.
I want to see it.
Yeah,
you have them?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
They're really embarrassing.
Put them up on the gram.
That's and it was amazing. Like a parody. It was like the emo kid was writing it, but it was just making fun of him for being sad and wearing sweaters and stuff. I'm not even sure I had a really good idea what emo was. I think I had just like seen a Weezer video.
Wow, Leo's feelings are really hurt.
He's still into it. But then we had like one called Punk Kid, one called Goth Kid. It was just kind of like making
that's
fun of different
awesome.
A riff on various tropes.
That's really yeah. dope. And it was like a whole crew of you?
It was like me and like my best friend. And I'd get all my friends to contribute. Like we'd make up different, you know, Pokemon.
So you had like your squad. People, like you had the people who were into the same shit as you.
Yeah, I had friends.
Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like.
I know people.
Like, but like.
People like me. I don't know if you noticed. I'm very likable.
What do you mean?
I mean, there were some people who like I shaved my head and they used to call me little Mexican boy and stuff like that.
Damn.
Like I would. If I got teased or anything, it was just because for like breaking gender norms and stuff.
Yeah, but that seems significant because I wonder what the tenor of culture is broadly at that time. I mean, this is a few years ago. I mean,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
so,
it was over a decade ago, and I think being bi back then, because I'm bisexual, was very. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal. This was the era of tongue piercings and, you know, like, whatever. Like, there was plenty of, like, girl-on-girl hot makeout time wasn't that controversial at the time. I don't even think I knew then that I was non-binary necessarily, but I kind of knew I was transgender, and I
what age is this?
Probably, I mean, like, when I think about, like, when did I find out, like, that I was trans, like, I just think about, like, going to the library and, like, borrowing Stone Butch Blues, which is this really iconic, like, lesbian kind of memoir. Like, every gay person listening is like, oh, duh, the most cliche
like
book.
I remember, okay. I was like, not your Bible?
Straight kids don't go to the library at 12 and check out Stone Butch Blues. Like, no, like, cis kids don't necessarily go, like, that's not necessarily, you're not, like, trawling the LGBTQ section at the library, like, looking for something that looks like you and then reading it and, like, connecting with it. So where even if I didn't have the vocabulary to articulate it at the time, or, like, necessarily know or use the words non-binary to describe myself, like...
It was a feeling.
Yeah, I definitely knew I wasn't like everybody else, and I knew that there were parts of me that weren't like, oh, I'm a girl, you know?
But you began to express that in style, in
yeah.
fashion.
And I go back and forth. People know me, and they know I can be pretty femme, but I can also, you know, I'm all over the gender expression spectrum, and at that time, because I was a little punk, I was definitely more on the... You know, the little skinny vegan with no, like, I really did look like a boy, which is why my nickname was Little Mexican Boy, because I was just like this little skinny slip of a brown thing wearing like a Dead Kennedy shirt with the
little
sleeves ripped off and like a flannel over it or whatever.
Little slip of a brown thing.
I know, a lot of bars. That's also the beauty of the elasticity of the gender spectrum, right? I mean, and part of your exploration is proving that. But that's lovely. But I imagine as a teenager, that isn't the easiest way to explore, to experiment. I mean,
yeah, it wasn't that bad. You know, I got teased a little bit. I was, if anything, I could say that I was protected a lot by the fact that our society punishes trans femininity a lot more than it punishes trans masculinity. It's not really cool for people who are assigned male at birth to express themselves in ways that I think that you can get away with if people think that you're just a tomboy. So I was lucky in that way, but also transphobia sucks and everybody should get to do what they want and everybody should be lucky in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was having this conversation with somebody who's, you know, Cupcake and I are in same age, basically, and I was talking to somebody who's our age, too, and how we grew up with the words bisexual and gay and lesbian, but not queer and transgender. I didn't, you know, I didn't have friends who were queer, who identified as queer. I had friends who identified as gay. And even for me at this age, it's like relearning all these things. And that's why I say, like, you know, you've opened me up. And, you know, since we're peers and, you know, I have a lot of admiration and respect for you. And, you know, you just broadened my understanding and scope. And you're just very open with it, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I feel like I'm not, like, active. I feel like sometimes people follow me because I tweet, like, one woke thing, and then they're like, oh, this person isn't, like, I'm all about advocacy, and this is what is happening
that's the best thing. Yeah, you're not, like, shoving it down my throat, but you still taught me a lot, and, you know.
I'm just me, and I'm open who I am with being me, and I get good, I feel like I get good responses for that sometimes, because people are like, oh, I'm me, and I didn't know it was cool to be open and loud about being me, and you make me feel more comfortable. And that can be a really hard thing for people. A lot of people struggle with, you know, being closeted or just not feeling like they fit into the world, really being themselves.
Have you always had that freedom, courage to be yourself, or was it a process?
Oh, man, punk rock. You know, because I feel like I think probably more than now I used to want to be transgressive, or I used to just like kind of John Waters it and throw a leopard print coat on and flip everybody off and set the stage on fire or whatever. I'm a little more chill now, but now I'm not doing it to say fuck you to anybody. But I think ever since I was a little kid, I was like, well, why would I be straight? Why would I be this? Why would I be that? Why would I do what you told me to, you know?
So it's about the norm, right? It's about what's normal or what we consider normal. And then the kind of intentional adversarial relationship to that space, which is very punk rock.
Yeah, and I, you know, some part of that is, like, you get older and you're like, I don't know, some conventions sound nice, maybe I do want to get married, you know, that's like an example, like, you're a little bit less like, fuck everything, fuck society, than you used to be.
And then everyone's like, wait, you like regular stuff? But I'm like, yes. Sorry,
I love being
human.
Wholesome.
Yeah. Right, I have my moments of, you know, wholesomeness.
So, to go back a little, like, when did you begin to write?
I began to write, I mean, I guess there's those zines.
Right.
I used to write for I had one of the most popular urban cycling blogs for a bunch of years, Tiny Fix Bike Gang, which you can actually...
Cycling blogs.
Yeah, like hipster fixie shit, you know?
Yeah, like your dog fixie.
Yeah.
I got it now.
I did that for a long time, and then I was just kind of like, I got a lot of experience writing for that and writing for that blog, and it got pretty popular because there's only so many people writing about biking in cities, and at the time especially there was only so many women and non-binary people writing about biking in cities and writing about being short and writing about not being able to fit most bike frames, or, you know, there's a lot of things in cycling that weren't designed for our bodies or for just us as people, so we wrote about that a lot.
And this is in Columbus, or?
Oh, this is here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably this is like 7 years ago or something like that. And
well, so how did you get here? How did you come to Chicago, and why did you come, other than it's the, you know, greatest and most problematic city in the world?
Oh, it was the same thing as when I left, you know, the suburbs in Southern California. I had just kind of outgrown it. I was done with Columbus. I had done everything that I wanted to do there and needed to do there.
But were you writing there, or were you just chilling?
Chilling mostly.
Dropping acid and working at Target.
I was doing artsy shit. I was like helping throw parties and stuff. Like there, I was like promoting DIY parties, which again,
okay,
like,
that's kind of like
it makes
know,
so much
up,
sense
yeah.
when you see
in the lane.
Like now
yeah.
what I do. It makes a lot more sense.
But were you? I mean, did you see that? Because that is an art. Promoting is an art. Were you also creating your own art? Making your own space, or were you doing that primarily and continuing to explore?
I'm really about supporting other people and who are doing cool stuff and like trying to put other people on, and you know, it would be my friends playing these parties that I'd help promote, and now it's, you know, different people that I'm writing about and exposing more people to their music. I don't know if that's answering your question, but that's all I could think of.
Well, yeah, no, but exposing people to other people's music, right? Because that begins to be a lane for you.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a selfless thing, but I don't really consider myself like I'm an artist or I'm like a super famous person or I'm a creator. Like, probably the best thing that I do is sit down with somebody, interview them, and then turn out a really sweet editorial feature that somebody reads and they feel like they know that person as a person.
I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, and that is an art. And that's an art to, it's an art to listen, and then it's an art to also prop somebody up and adequately relate someone else's story. That's, there's obviously like a heavy hand in that craft.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but, and I mean, I got my own opinions too, and so right. Sometimes that's what I write about too.
But you came here and you didn't immediately get into that, right?
Yeah, it was pretty close. It was pretty soon after I got, after I moved to Chicago. I've probably been in Chicago 8 years. So let's look at that as my, writing career. For the first, 4 years of it, I'm mostly writing about bikes and blogging about bikes. And then I start Store Brand Soda. Store Brand Soda has probably been around for 3 years now.
But you were working at a bank, right?
Yeah. For a long time, I worked at a bank while this was happening. I was working at a bank. You don't make enough money blogging that you're not working at the bank, too. Yeah. So I'm a bank teller. And I'm blogging, and
Talk about the blog, because I've been going back and also reading there. But why did you start that space?
Store Brand Soda at storebrandsoda.com. It was started by me and my friend Emily. She really wanted to create an indie pop calendar that just listed indie pop shows in Chicago. And I was like, well, I know all these garage punk kids and all these garage shows, and I can help with that. And then I was like, why don't we have writing too? Because I'd been doing this bike blog thing, and I was just ready to end writing about bikes. But I was like, I guess I could write about music.
So you finished that and then started this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I called it quits on the bike blog, but it's still updated sometimes, and you guys can go check it out. And I started Swiss Store Brand Soda, and I was writing some pretty cool, important stuff. There's some articles that y'all can look up that, are pretty popular. There's one called, The Art Is Not the Artist, about what happened to me, which I really loved Famous Dex, and then I found out that Famous Dex was a terrible, terrible, terrible person on videotape. Yeah. And it was just kind of what happens when that happens to an artist you like, or your decision making process, do I keep, listening to this person? Do I keep supporting this person? Am I going to go buy a $60 shirt at their tour and give them some money? The questions that we ask ourselves. And another one called Imagining a Safer Space, Ending Harassment in Punk, that actually kind of blew up and went pretty viral, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people read it and freaked out about it on Facebook and everything. And you can go back and read it if you want, but it's just about I ended up getting harassed at a punk bar, Beerland, in Texas. And I just wrote about the experience and the many ways that I had kind of been failed in that circumstance. The goal when you go out and have a fun, safe night is that everybody's just going to have fun and be safe. And that hadn't happened in that scenario. And it wasn't really about, oh, boo-hoo, this one time, this one thing happened, because that bar has gone on to, really fix a lot of those issues, and, it wasn't about that one-time thing. It's really about, the culture of harassment. That's and endemic, the way yeah. that mm-hmm. abuse is perpetrated. And this was obviously, this is coming up a lot in the news these days, but this was obviously years ago. This has always been a problem.
But this also began to kind of garner interest from other bigger platforms for your writing.
Yeah, I first started writing for a couple years ago. I started writing for High Snobiety. It was one of the first places I got published. Bandcamp Daily was one of my earliest supporters too. I really love all my editors over there for giving me a chance. There's some really cool editors out there who are willing to look at a bunch of cool blog posts that you wrote and go, oh, whoa, you can write. I'm going to give you a chance. So maybe if you're listening at home and you're like, oh, I don't have any professional experience writing, there's definitely some really cool people out there who will take a look at your stuff and give you a chance.
Well, this is the freelance life, right?
Yes.
Which is very difficult.
It's hard.
And so how do you maintain in that space?
Well, I'm lucky because I have a day job. I'm not a full-time
And your day job is also cool.
Yeah.
Now, right?
Yes, now right, I have now. A very cool... Yeah, I should just say what I do. I work for D3N2.com. It's event listings in Chicago, and we also have, you know, all sorts of content, things like that. I do all of our social media. So I'm just like writing tweets and making Instagram stories about, you know, sign up for, you know, to learn about weed strains, or, you know, go to this really cool concert, or do that, you know, like I'm doing that all day, and I'm
literally all
gifts.
Day, right? Yeah. Like that's like a that's 9 to 5, or
yes,
right?
Exactly.
And what is your title there?
I'm the social media and marketing assistant, technically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because that I mean, you know, 5 years ago, maybe that job title would never exist.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They didn't have. They created my job position, and then I was hired. I was the first one.
In part because of your own, you know, kind of dexterity.
You got popping
and, yeah,
on Twitter,
on social media, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm low key Twitter famous.
Yeah, exactly. No,
that's probably
no,
where
for real.
I'm most famous.
Right, yeah. right, for real. And so I guess even in that
you got
space,
those clout tokens.
Right.
Yeah.
How did tokens. I mean? Why was that a platform that you were able to express yourself, develop a voice? How did people start to really rock
I
with you there?
With you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. I mean, I met you in person, but then I found you on Twitter, and I was like, yo, this girl just like doesn't give a fuck, and it's amazing. Sorry, not this girl. Okay, back then
it's
I
okay.
thought this girl, and mm-hmm. I think when I met you, you know, I was calling you she her, and you were like, you know, hadn't really said that, mm-hmm. or you were, I guess, still kind of okay with being called she her, and then later you told me they them, and I was like, cool.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's I kind of choose and I pick and choose my comfort, you know, with it, it's not a big, it's like, it's always not a big deal where I want to be talking about it on the,
right,
on,
right, right.
On the podcast.
But,
basically.
You know, there's this person and they really, you know.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I just am me on my Twitter, and I mean, I was joking about being Twitter famous. I have like 4,000 followers. It's like nothing.
I know, but still, like.
But you have a prominent voice.
They're mostly in Chicago, and they mostly fuck with rap, and they like.
Well,
pay
and that's something else
to
I want to talk about.
It's a good user base, is I guess what I'd call it. My day job, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you're non-binary, and you write a lot about rap. You mm-hmm. know, how do you? I mean, as a woman, I'm always asked. You know, how do you feel about writing about rap music when, you know, men are this way and talk about women this way? And
men
you know
are trash.
I mean?
I thought you were going to for sure say that.
Yeah, I didn't say that. It's like the first time I've never said that.
Okay. So,
I mean, how do you, you know, feel about that? I mean,
the misogyny. The
rap,
and,
yeah, rap doesn't cater to women and clearly
yeah,
doesn't cater
and
to
rap
like,
and
non-binary.
And,
yeah, Offset does not vibe with queers
yeah,
and all that.
Right, so.
Although, you know, and I saw those tweets and I forget whose handle it was and I apologize for this, but. What you know? What homie was bringing to the
Wait,
forefront?
Who?
There was somebody who was the clapback from this one handle was saying that Offset might not vibe with queer folks, but wears all queer designers and constantly shouts them out towards prominence.
Yeah.
Right. So I was really like vibing with that critique too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
Versace. But
he don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I guess that is a question for you. Like, you know, how do you navigate and you know in the space?
I don't know if it's my place to say. There's this really amazing Doughboys Cash Out track called Therapy where they go to a therapist and they're all just rhyming to the therapist about their issues with women and like they're saying all, you know, when people like parody rap and they're like, oh yeah, and then they say the most like just stupidest stuff that nobody would ever say in a rap song, like almost that's what it's like. It's like they're proving people's worst fears about what rappers think about women like true and putting it all out there in this track. I love this track because I think it's self-aware and I don't think that it was made in a way to say that they hate women or that they have these views on them. It's tough. It's not my, I feel like it's not my place to say, it's not my culture to say, it's not, I feel like when I see something in rap that's problematic and it's my place to call it out, it's because, like I had that Lil Pump article, I wrote an article for a high snob about Lil Pump uses the N-word a lot. And he's Cuban. And I felt like, as a Mexican person, I felt like for that one, that was my place to say.
Right, right.
I feel like almost like the homophobia or the misogyny in rap, I'm like, that's been there since day one. That's not really my gonna be my cause to get that to end.
Right.
But I feel like I can take on small actionable things if it is my place to say it, and I felt like it was. I was like, you know what, I can say that maybe you shouldn't be using an anti-black, you know, slur in Gucci Gang, you know? I feel confident in saying that.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. How did you come to kind of fall in love with hip hop? I mean, you know, because you were involved in punk, and obviously some of these scenes are very close to one another. And I guess particularly kind of Chicago hip hop. Like, what are some of your entry points into the scene, sound, community here?
I would say, as far as getting integrated with the scene, it was really falling in love with Saba's music and then starting to hang out at the Pivot Gang shows, because just it's a huge family, and it's including family that you aren't going to see on stage ever, like the girlfriends and the cousins and, you know, like the moms
and grandmas,
and the friends of the friends, and like there's a whole giant network that kind of, you know, Young Chicago Authors, which of course you both are part of, is like part of that nexus. And so I got, you know, just to know some people there. Going to East Room is a big part of it. How many different local rappers have we met at East Room, Tara?
Right. Well, Tara's met quite a few.
You're going to meet a SoundCloud rapper at Chicago.
So you're saying you have seen Tara at the East Room?
I'm saying, I don't know what she's talking about.
Tara never goes to East Room.
The Duchess.
Listen. I'm one of many then.
Okay. Right, but so it's this kind of cultural fabric and network and community that you are part of.
Mm-hmm. And I still listen to punk music. I still listen to a ton of pop music. I still listen to all sorts of music, but I feel like if you're in Chicago and you're not paying any attention to the Chicago rap scene, you're sleeping. You know, it's such a vital part of the city's cultural landscape. I mean, I feel like it's really easy to be here and ignore the cultural output of, like, you know, the segregated 60% of the city or whatever, but it's also really fulfilling and wonderful if you don't cut yourself off from that.
Yeah. So what do you in Chicago now? I mean, first of all, you've been here, you're staying here?
Yes.
This your home? You feel at home here?
I'm Chicago, and y'all made me drag through my every place I've ever lived. But yeah, I'm a Chicago for life now. I can't claim native, but adopted.
Yeah. Mm. And so in, you know, like in, what is your future look like? I mean, where does it go in terms of the writing, in terms of the platforms that you build for yourself, for other people?
I really want to write a cover story. I'm putting that intention out there in the universe that someday I want to, like, pick up a magazine and there's a big, beautiful, you know, photo of a giant pop star, giant rapper who's just really on right now. And I'm the person who wrote it. And that's my byline on it. That's what I'm putting out there. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. I'm not that famous of a writer, but I will
be.
But 2018.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah.
Right. Very good. Can we talk about pronouns a little?
Yeah, sure.
You know, just I my homie who really put me on is an incredible poet and curator and organizer, H-Melt. I don't know if you know their work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say,
but mine though is Soul Patches.
Oh yeah,
yes,
Soul Patch. Yeah, and shout out Soul Patches.
Yeah,
and so, you know, but that's kind of in the universe, in my estimation, a relatively recent space. Mm. You know,
yeah,
you know, H-Melt's book, The Plural, The Blurring, you know, in part is about the erasure and the challenging of that duality, which I think is important in every aspect of life. How recent is that for you and the language, I guess, specifically?
I've been really pretty adamant that people use they, them pronouns for me for, I guess, 2 years. And I think maybe longer than that, I would was like, oh, it's cool if you, you know, use she, but like, I also use they pronouns. I don't think it was something that I had the self-knowledge or the cultural knowledge to, like, even think of asking for. But I think if you, you know, like if you had asked me, like even at 16, like, are you all the way boy or all the way a girl? I would have been like, I don't know, bro. Like, I'm probably somewhere in the middle. So I've been personally using they, them pronouns for a few years. And I try to be a really good advocate for people I know who also prefer them, because it's really, I think there's this perception that you're being a huge stick in the mud bummer if you like correct people about it, or if you like advocate for it. I think it's like a self-perception sometimes. Like, people think that it's going to be a big deal, bigger deal than it is. Or it's really easy to, you know, when you're over at somebody's house and you really want some water, but you're just trying to be so nice, and so you just sit there and be thirsty. I think that's like someone who wants to use they, them pronouns, but isn't, like, I feel that they're just sitting at, you know, other people's houses being thirsty, because some people will be like, no, it's too much trouble to get you a glass of water. I'm used to only serving people salty snacks. Like, that was a terrible analogy, but they're like, I only serve salty snacks. I only use he or she, and it's just too confusing for me to get you a glass of water right now. And so they just sit there thirsty, and everybody's, they've had that experience before. You know, that really does happen to them. So that they sit at other people's houses, and they're like, oh, I might think about speaking up and saying, like, hey, can I get a glass of water? I use they, them pronouns. But they just don't want to be a bother. Mm. And how I started viewing it is, I'm not being a bother. I'm making it the next person this person meets that uses they, them pronouns, they're going to be good at it because they practice with me. And they're, you know, they're not going to think it's a big deal. And it's not... So for me, it took some of the focus off me, where like, oh, I'm asking so much. I'm like, no, y'all need to be getting good at this, because I'm not the only one you're going to meet. Yeah.
Well, and part of it is about visibility, right? It is about normalizing the counter to the heteronorm, right? Mm-hmm. You wrote that beautiful article about all the trans murders in 2017.
Yeah, I
did a piece for the Fader memorializing. I didn't write all of them, but we as part of a team at the Fader, they wrote up, you know, a memorial for every single person who got murdered in 2017. And I was part of that, and I took on quite a few of them. And that was really heavy.
Yeah. And then you also continue to kind of elevate. I mean, you because you also are running... You put on a night at Berlin, or you...
Yeah, you host, yeah.
Yeah, I've put on some club nights, and I host sometimes. I'm part of Queer Nightlife or something like that, you know. I am just part of the city's queer community, and that's actually really... It's actually really interesting and cool, because I don't see a ton of people traveling between the hip-hop community and the queer communities.
Yeah.
There's not... Like, sometimes my friends who I know... from rap, you know, like, they'll be like, oh, are you going to whatever show, you going to 21 Savage or whatever, but I'll tell them that I'm hosting at Berlin. They're like, what's Berlin? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the city's old, like, one of the oldest gay clubs, like, it's huge. All my queer friends, they're like, oh, of course, Berlin. But if I'm like, hey, have you listened to the new Max of Cream album, like, they're like, maybe not, you know.
It's such an interesting, like, you know, I don't know,
separation. I mean, do you see that changing?
Yeah, well, we all love Cupcake the rapper, so...
I was going to ask you about that. Cupcake, right. With two Ks.
Cupcake, no, yeah, no relation.
Right.
To okay, Cupcake, okay. And Cupcake the rapper, no relation, even
except
though we're both from Chicago.
Right?
No. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just putting it out in the world. Maybe my cover story will be about Cupcake.
Let's go. Yeah.
Cupcake by Cupcake. What's up?
Yeah. Cupcake on Cupcake, yeah.
Cupcake on Cupcake, yes.
Double frosting.
Okay. Multiple layers. I don't know. Do cupcakes have multiple layers?
Sure.
I guess.
Sure.
But yeah,
know.
That was just a joke, because gay people love Cupcake. And so she's a
rapper. Yeah. Yeah. But do you, because are we moving in a direction where some of, you know, are these communities starting to integrate at all, in part because of rappers like Cupcake, in part because of rappers like Young M.A., in part because of Kevin Abstract, Odd Future? Like, where are we going? In
Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're correct that there is definitely an opening up, and there's definitely more cross-cultural transmission. I mean, one of my favorite projects from last year was Queer Quay Dash did the Transphobic EP, which is just like a killer rap EP from a trans woman. I think that it would be even though I said that earlier that there's a lot of division, there's a lot of people who exist in both spaces concurrently. Mm. And I think that there's a lot more movement to make it so that it's not so painful to, I think, exist in both spaces. Because, like, you could say, like, oh, it's so cool that Tyler, you know, like, came out or whatever. But then also, like, how much backlash should we all see on Twitter and stuff like that? Yeah. You know, like, yeah. I think that there's still strides to be made.
Oh, I mean, even, like, Young Thug, mm-hmm. who, you know, the way he dresses and, I guess, kind of bends, like, you know, gender in that way.
Yeah,
and then he was just tweeting some kind of like, homophobic things a couple of days ago. You know, I mean, it goes back and forth, which I love. Oh my gosh, I do not want my legacy to be that I like call Young Thug problematic on this podcast. I love Young Thug.
Yeah,
please do not get in my mentions, Young Thug stans.
Yeah,
he can say what he wants.
And you love Lil Uzi.
I love Lil Uzi.
He's your
my lock screen right now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
I pulled up my phone like I was going to show everybody on the radio, but that Lil Uzi Vert.
If you could see through this microphone.
Please let it be known, Cupcake does have a phone.
Yes.
And her background is
Lil Uzi. I guess in that regard, you know, what are you listening to? Like, what are you kind of, you know, feeling right now?
So Cupcake did just drop a record, and that is really cool. I mentioned that Maxo Cream just dropped a record. I'm just really excited about those two because they're some of the first things that have come out. I've been listening to a bunch of like Latin trap lately.
Yes, Crippy Kush.
Yes, and Chambea and stuff.
That one just, like, Cardi super, B song.
Yes, yeah. Just like a ton of like pop. Like I listen to a ton of pop music. Like it's not. I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm putting you on right now. Like this is. You can turn on the radio and hear Chambea. And Jay Critch and Harry Fraud just put out a song called Thousand Ways that bangs. Mm. And I'm fucking with Lil Skies too. I think he's got some growing to do. Trippie Redd, all those SoundCloud.
Lil Skies, was he on? I feel like Genius just tweeted a video of him. Yeah, I don't know. And somebody was the quote tweeted like, I don't need any more of these shitty SoundCloud rappers. And it wasn't bad. I mean, it was cool.
Yeah, I need a million of everything.
I mean, it's all Lil Young, Lil. I'm just
it's fair, but it's great.
I confused Lil Peep and Lil Pump forever.
Yeah, a lot of people did, I think. What about reading, watching?
I've been watching Living Single and Frasier, kind of alternating between
yes,
them.
Yes. Wow. Very different shows, although
both
they kind of balance out.
Grammer wrote for both.
Oh, interesting.
Really? Yeah, I think it was the EP on Living Single. I might be making this up.
I don't think I've ever seen that show.
Kelsey Grammer's an EP on Girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, that slash weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
And random. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Cool. And what reading? And even just, I'm also curious about what journalists maybe you pay attention to, other than Tara Mahadevan.
Thanks.
I love Lior, who you guys just had on, because he's always, you know, shining a light onto, you know, unsung, especially, he does a really good job. I don't know if you guys went over this before I got here, but combating the idea that it's just like drill versus chance. That's his little pet, like, there's more to Chicago rap.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that because I still read a lot of lazy writing from people that collapse everything in a Keith versus Chance. My friend Austin Brown, he just reviewed the Cupcake album for Spin, and I was like blown away by it. Just Skolnick, they're my editor over at Bandcamp, they're a really amazing music writer. Probably a bunch of other people that besides just my friends. If I like had time to prepare and think about
to that point, where are you going for new music? Bandcamp being one space. Where else are you looking for new music?
I'm in my SoundCloud feed. Let's see, I'm fucked up by people selling reposts. Can I bitch about that for a second? Well, you guys know what that, you know, like rappers are like, hey, sound like special SoundCloud repost, $15.
And rappers?
Yeah.
Wow.
So a rapper, you follow this rapper on SoundCloud and all his songs show up in your feed, but all the songs that he reblogs show up in your feed. too. Mm-hmm. And so if they're selling these reblogs for, it used to be kind of cool because it'd be like, oh, he was featured on this song, or he reblogged this song because he really fucked with it. But now,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my SoundCloud feed is a lot of reposts, and I don't necessarily know.
Are you selling reposts? Is
that okay, yeah. Leading into this, I'm running a special this week only. $10 SoundCloud repost, Lorena Cupcake, get your clout.
I'm gonna follow you though.
Yeah. I use SoundCloud a little bit, and I try to see what's popping there, and stay on top of the what the kids are listening to with the Hot 100, and I like to see what my friends
all the are kids.
Yeah, I like to see what my friends are listening to, like the social aspect of like Apple Music or whatever, or what just people tweeting out what they love. I'll ask for recommendations on Twitter, and even if people are like, check out my mixtape, like I still enjoy it.
Yeah, and where can folks find you?
My name is Lorena Cupcake, Lorena, and then cupcake like the snack. So there's lorenacupcake.com. It's got all my writing and articles on it. And then I'm at Lorena Cupcake, on, you know, Instagram and Twitter. And you can even find me. I think I have like a page on Facebook. So,
For real. Oh, I guess last question, like, what have you been, anything that you've slept on that you, have recently rediscovered or found for the first time? It was like, oh shit, how did I miss this 89 Brand Nubian record?
I'm like, I'm so forgetful. I'm like pulling up, like, what have I just found recently? There's this group called CMDWN, CM Down. I don't even know.
Come down?
Is that what it is? Wow. That's what it is. Come down. I don't even know anything about them, but I would just realize that they released an album like 2 years ago and they're like still putting out.
What did she say?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Come down, maybe.
What are they? Are they a band?
They're like a collective, I think. I still have to research. That's how new it is to me and how much I've been sleeping on it.
You might be able to put everybody on. So.
Yeah, true.
Thanks for spending so much time with us
tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, really a pleasure. And make sure folks follow on Twitter and read. I mean, the articles that you write are a real contribution to the culture. So thank you for that.
Lorena Cupcake 1K. Just let y'all know.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio.
Also, Mike Heideman for producing.
Shout out, DJ Cashera.
And Boss Man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.